Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This is the place that you can get the latest, most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. And I think we might even make you laugh a little bit along the way, because we got a lot of fun things that we want to share with you. Now, during this hour, we're going to talk about something I've never heard of, a granny pad. Yes, there's a granny pad that is a type of residential place. We're going to find all about that. That should be interesting. Joe, I've never really heard that particular term.
A granny pad. Now, I've heard a bachelor pad. Maybe when bachelors get old enough, they need a granny pad. Maybe that's what they're referring to. Yeah, well, that'll be interesting. Well, that's the great thing about this radio show being in being broadcast on over 300 radio stations coast to coast. You hear about all kinds of building and living situations. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to finding out more about that.
Hey, also, there's so many ways that you can heat and cool your home. It gets more and more confusing as more technology comes out about different ways of doing that. And of course, everybody tries to do it the most efficient way possible. We're going to talk a little bit about those few options. And also, Joe, one thing we deal with a good bit, and I hate to even hear when someone's talking about a concrete porch that's starting to crack, because you know there's never anything good that comes out of that. And once something starts settling, it's really pretty hard to correct something like that.
Yeah, and the difference is between, is it a hairline crack? And the surfaces on either side of the crack are still perfectly flush and level? Or are we talking about a structural crack where one part of it is actually settling away from the other part of the patio? And that's there's some cracks in concrete you can repair and patch and some you can't. So, yeah, we'll have to get more information to give some advice on that one.
And, you know, I really haven't had much to deal with the companies that talk about the foundation repairs and their ability to pump foam into the ground to raise a slab. I'd like to dig into that a little bit more and just find out how practical that is. I'd love to find out in a real-life situation where you're looking at, okay, I'm going to have to remove this, whatever it is. Let's say it's a approach to a garage. I want to, and it's settled down and water's getting in there and such. So I would have to remove this section and repour it. What would that cost? I could figure that out compared to having one of these companies come in and do the whole drilling that they do and raise it back up. I'd be real curious to know the difference in the cost of that.
Yeah, I wonder. It does work, though. I have seen it where they drill a bunch of holes and they pump in the foam and it expands. I'm not sure how they know how much foam to pump in, right? I mean, if you've ever used even the little spray cans of expanding foam, you put one little squirt and you're like, well, that's not good enough. You put a little more. Next thing you know, you empty the can and 90% of it is coming out into the room, taking over, engulfing your furniture. So you have to kind of be careful. But yeah, they have, and I've seen it on videos where the slab just slowly rises up. It's amazing. And I guess that foam holds it in place. Of course, now you have all these holes all over your driveway. You have to patch it. And as we often say, you can repair concrete, but will the repair look any better than the cracks?
So, right. Yeah. That's always an issue there. But we're going to check that out a little bit. But another thing we're going to talk about is a sentimental patio. You know, I've heard a lot of people.
Sentimental patio.
Something. Okay. That a homeowner's father built and worked really, really hard to build. He was real proud of it. It's gotten a little older now, but we hear that a lot. We hear that a lot from people that, you know, that they want to change something, they want to clean something up, but it was something that their father or their mother built, and they want to hold on to it. And I've got a perfect idea for that particular homeowner. Actually, it was something that we did a television show on that we actually called the Recycled Patio, and how we actually used a lot of it. In that case, it wasn't anything to do with being sentimental. It was finances, that you had a lot of usable material, but they wanted to make it bigger. We came up with some great ideas on that. I know you've got a simple solution queued up for us. Give us a little tease for that later on in the hour.
Well, I'm always looking for quick and easy ways to store small fasteners and hand tools, and there's all types of plastic bins you could buy, but I have a simple solution how to upcycle. That's a relatively new term, I guess, instead of recycling a plastic tub. And I'll tell you which tub I'm talking about coming up in a simple solution.
Oh, good, good. Look forward to that. Hey, I also heard that we've got a lot of comments back on the today's homeowner hotline, which I would encourage you to give us a call anytime, 800-946-4420, or you can send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. I understand that we received some feedback on the squirrel picnic tables we were talking about.
They're still talking about the squirrel picnic table. That's amazing.
Joe was brought up a few weeks ago about the popularity of that, you know, that you build a little miniature table, you put food in the middle of it, which many times will be a large nail that you put an ear of corn on, and the squirrels come and they look like they're sitting there having a picnic. But I understand that one of our regular listeners down in Miami suggested that if someone builds a picnic table and they have a regular visitor there, they should name the squirrel. What were some of those squirrel names you were mentioning?
Yeah, I think I sent you the list. I don't have it in front of me, but I think one of them was Frank Sinatra and Attila the Nut. Right?
And Clay Acorn.
Clay.
That's one. Clay, you know, yeah. Instead of the country singer.
And Johnny Cashew.
Yeah, Johnny Cashew. I thought that was pretty good. Or Florence Nuttingale.
There you go.
That's another one, you know, in case you got a girl squirrel.
In case
a
squirrel has a date, right? He brings a date to the table. Yeah,
the squirrel of Nuttingham. You know,
oh, that's a good one. Yeah,
yeah. I think that's pretty clever.
I think that was we have a longtime listener, Keith from Miami, who contacts us from time to time. I think he submitted, emailed me that. But I thought those were hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Well, let me tell you a little of a saga around the old house here. So, you know, I built a new house. I took me a while to get my aluminum fencing that I put in outside really, really pretty, trying to figure out exactly what type of gate I wanted.
Okay.
And then I finally saw one that actually was made out of the same material, but it was just a little heavier duty. So I did a little research, figured out exactly what I wanted, and I ordered my gate. So kind of like, okay, that's a big thing because we're going to put the motor on it and, you know, we'll make the house safer. It'll look, and it's really
this is a driveway, driveway,
driveway
gate.
Driveway gate. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're talking about I think it was, 10 foot wide, and
so it's a single gate,
kind of arched up to 6 foot and everything. So, anyway, with all of the manufacturing issues and so forth, I ordered this now on September 7th, and with all of the situation, this is coming out of Michigan, and with all of the situation there with them stopping the manufacturing for a period of time, and then when the government allowed the workers to come back, they would only allow 30% of them. Well, the orders kept coming in from all over the country. This is a pretty, I'm not going to mention the name of it right now because you'll see why. So anyway, so we finally delay 20 weeks later.
Wow.
I received the gate 3 days ago.
Okay.
They get here about, 6 o'clock. It was already dark. Semi-truck, 60 feet long. And you've seen my driveway,
for
so that was a challenge.
Yeah,
so that was a challenge. And so they come up, we unload the gate. It was pretty easy to unload and everything. I signed the ticket, and the guy left. Everything's fine. So we get ready yesterday to install the gate, and we open it up, and it is severely damaged right at the hinge where it has been hit with a forklift and has just crimpled the thing beyond repair. What do I do? Okay, so I call the company up, the fence company up. And I'm not going to tell you their name right now, but if I don't get some service really quick, I'm going to say it every week. But so I called the people up and everything. I said, hey, I took these pictures and I sent it. And they go, okay, well, you need to call the freight company. It's not our problem. I said, wait a minute. I didn't hire the freight company. You hired the freight company. Sorry, we can't help you with this is not something that we will debate. Bye. Click.
Wow.
So I am got a call into the freight company now. And they said, you should be pretty good. You should be fine. Okay, well,
should be fine meaning
should
what?
Be this is a $2,200 investment here for one gate.
Yeah.
So I'll keep you posted and see. But this is a good study of what's happening right now with the shortage of materials, people stressed out. It's taking longer to get everything. And then, you know, in a situation like this where I've been patient, waited 20 weeks when they said it was going to be 10.
Yeah.
And then you get it, you open it up, you're ready to install it, and it's all bent beyond any kind of repair. repair. Nobody can repair this thing.
Yeah. They always say, well, you're supposed to open the package and get and inspect it before the truck drives out. Who does that? The guy's not going to stand there and wait for you to uncrate it.
Right. And you couldn't really tell that there was any damage. And, oh, by the way, it was pitch dark, okay? They got down here when it's pitch dark. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I'll keep you posted on that. I had to rant just a little bit
good
there.
Good for but you. You feel better now?
I'll be nice now. Good. I'm okay. Hey, coming up, we're going to cover all kinds of things. We're going to talk with people from all over the country. A lot of things we're going to share with you. I guarantee you, you can use at your house. We want you to be a part of it. You can give us a call at 800-946-4420. That's the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We want to help you any way we can. Or send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask, and we're going to cover a lot of those emails and answer as many questions as we can during this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. Sit back, relax. You're about to hear something that you'll be able to use at your home. We'll be right back.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You know, it's so cool to be with you each and every week here on Today's Homeowner Radio, and we're so proud of the large radio network that we've put together and the wonderful stations all across the country that air Today's Homeowner. Just like this one in Laurel, Montana is KBSR AM 1490.
Laurel is located in the Yellowstone Valley of South Central Montana, just 15 miles down Interstate 90 from Billings. It was settled in 1879 and incorporated in about 1908. And nearby attractions include Little Bighorn Battlefield National Monument and Yellowstone National Park, which is 2.2 million acres. Imagine that. Wow. I've not been to Yellowstone. You've been up there, right, to Yellowstone?
I've been there, and I'm going back for my birthday.
Are you really?
In May, absolutely.
In May.
I'm going through. Actually, I'll be going through Laurel, Montana, and I'll be going staying in Jackson Hole for some. And we're going to go to the Grand Tetons there. We're going to go to Yellowstone for a couple days. And
beautiful. So this will be a great time of the year to go, too. It'll be nice and cool in the evenings.
You know that you can't even get in there until normally the third week in April.
Because of the snow.
Because of the snow. Yeah, we're looking forward to that and certainly appreciate everybody around Laurel, Montana that listens in to us, and we appreciate that. We want to hear from you. You know what to do. 800-946-4420, or you can send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. A lot of a beautiful area up there. You're talking about a wide open spaces. I mean, you go on a little drive around there and be able to, you know, you turn a corner and you just see these different scenes and vistas that are just incredible. You know, I just really like that. I hadn't been out there in years and years. Hadn't been anywhere in a while with all of the restrictions on travel and that kind of thing. I hadn't been really anxious to get out there in the airports anymore.
Yeah, join the club.
I know it, exactly. Yeah. But
everybody's been staying close to home.
Let's head over to Michigan. Laurie's on the phone with us right now. Laurie, welcome to the show.
Well, hello there. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We're anxious to hear about your granny pad.
Well, I had a question on that. If I were to be building a house with a full basement and my plumbing and everything was downstairs, would I be able to put my water softener with the brine tank upstairs on the first floor, maybe like in a closet, so I don't have to lug those big heavy bags of salt down into the basement?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I'll tell you what, my buddy Joe can certainly answer that. He's done a lot with writing about water softeners and so forth. Joe, have you had a question like this before?
I have not. And Laura, that's an interesting question. I know I had one installed about, I guess it's going on 2 years now, and it's in our basement, because the water comes in right there, as it does in most homes, in the basement or in the crawl space or, by the utility closet, out in the garage, depending on where you are. So you have a basement, so the water's probably entering, whether you have a city water or well water, and that's usually where the water softener gets connected, so that all the water that goes into the house, all the domestic water for cooking and cleaning and showering is all being softened. So I'm not sure how it would even get hooked up upstairs in an attic. And plus, it usually takes up a bit of
space. Oh, no. It's actually not upstairs in an attic. It would just be right, like, above it on the first floor.
It would be on the first floor?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And the basement's directly below it?
Correct.
Below that room, there's not that part of the house isn't on a slab or anything like that. Well, a plumber might be able to, depending. Do you know how close you are to where the water is entering the house? Would that happen to be close to that room?
Yeah, it could be. It's still all in the planning stages, so
right.
That's why I was thinking I could maybe put it directly up above from where the water comes in on the first floor.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking it was up like on the second floor above that. Okay, so on the first floor, with directly above the basement, you might be able to do that. They might be able to plumb that. Now, you still have to discharge the water. You know, the tank cleans itself, it automatically discharges, depending on how often how much water you use. And that would have to go into a dry well or into a drain or outdoors, depending on what your town allows. So I think you might be able to do this. You have to call a plumber, of course, and have him take a look at it. Because, I mean, if the piping is 2 feet long or 20 feet long, I don't know if it's really going to matter.
Right. Yeah. And I wasn't sure with, stuff going up and then, having to go back down or
right.
how that all works with gravity or whatever.
And it's going to take quite a bit of space, too, of course, because you have the brine tank, but then you also have the recharge where the beads are that the water runs through. So, the tank with all the salt takes up quite a bit of space, but as long as you have the room, yeah. But I know what you mean. Those bags, I buy them at Costco, and I think they reduce them to 40 pounds from 50 pounds, but they're still pretty heavy.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It gave me a lot of things to think about.
Sure.
So.
And you'll probably go through about one bag a month, depending on, we have just two people living in our home. We go through about a 40-pound bag every 5 weeks or so.
Yeah. So that's something to think about too. If I stock up and get them down there one time only, and they're down there for a while. So.
There you go.
Right, well, good luck, Laura.
It sounds like a great project. Certainly a better quality of water that you'll get. And thanks for being with us here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Okay, you take care. You are listening to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This is Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we get a lot of calls on the hotline. We also get a lot of emails. You can send one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Jacqueline wrote one in, said, "Hello, Danny. Our New Year's resolution was to start planning now for a project we want to tackle this spring. Do you have any tips on how to replace a concrete porch? Our 1930 Craftsman bungalow has a large front porch that has settled and cracked. Can we put wood over the porch to cover up the ugly concrete? I heard you talk about resurfacing concrete. Do you think that will work?" Well, certainly, Jacqueline, a lot of resurfacing or using the product called Recap does a really good job, but the potential problem here is if it is settling, then it will probably continue to settle. Now, if those are just expansion cracks that are going to happen with concrete slabs, then you're okay. It's not going to probably not moving. It's not settling any. It's actually just expansion crack. That way, you could cover right over it. You could actually use the Recap material to produce a finish that looks brand new, and that might be a viable way to do it. But Joe, I would think they'd really have to have some educated and professional eye look at that so that they're not wasting their time to determine if that slab may have to be completely removed.
Yeah, wasting your time meaning you can go through all the trouble of resurfacing it, and then that's going to crack. The resurfacing is going to crack because it continues to settle. And the general rule is if it's a surface crack that that only goes down an inch or two, that's probably fine. If there's a crack in a concrete slab that goes all the way through, even if it's not settled out of level or anything, that has to be removed and repaired. Right. There's no way to fix it. You have to remove it and re-pour it. And by the way, if you're using a resurfacer, you should mix it a little thicker, and then you can use that as a patch. That's recommended to use to patch all the cracks and holes prior to pouring it, mixing it thinner, and then pouring it over the whole surface.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's, you know, concrete does crack. We get calls almost every week with different scenarios like that. And, of course, if it's done properly and cured properly when you're pouring a slab, which, unfortunately, those cautionary steps are rarely taken, you can get by without any cracks at all. I know in my garage and as well as my storage building out back, I cut score joints in it after it was poured. I mean, a few hours after, I actually rented a walk-behind saw, and I cut these nice score joints in, control joints,
right.
I don't have a single crack anywhere.
Right.
I'm sure they're cracked down in those slots that I cut, but that's what it was for, to control that.
Right. That's why they're called control joints. If a crack starts across a slab and hits that cut joint, it'll stop.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about air conditioning replacement. Even though we're in the middle of winter, you still have to think ahead, and it may be affecting your heating as well. Also, we're going to talk about an idea to revive an existing paver patio that's looking a little old and a little sad, but has a special sentimental attachment to the homeowner that we want to try to help make it be able to keep it around a little bit. But we've got that and a whole lot more coming up here on today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Home Depot Best New Product segment, How Doers Get More Done. Now, by now, most homeowners know about LED light bulbs and how they offer the most energy-efficient, longest-lasting options for most household fixtures. Unfortunately, many of them look a little too high-tech for traditional light fixtures where the bulb is exposed. Well, that's where the EcoSmart Antique Edison LED bulb can be a great solution. The bulb is clear glass rather than plastic, and the vintage shape makes it a stylish replacement for traditional bulbs with all the benefits of LED technology. Now, that means you get the same light output with 90% less energy usage and as much as, listen to this, 15,000 hours of life.
Wow.
And this model is also dimmable, so you can work with any fixture or lamp that you might have in your home, all while looking really cool. So for more information on this EcoSmart ST19 Antique Edison Clear Glass LED light bulb, log on to HomeDepot.com. We recently just installed a lot of cafe lights the big pocket park that we built down in my hometown recently, and actually over 500 feet of bulbs and everything that we put up, and had the exposed bulbs just like we're talking about here. Really cool. It looked really, really nice.
You often see them in pendant lights, too, like people might put over a peninsula or a kitchen island where they use those clear, what are now called Edison bulbs. I wonder if Thomas Edison could have ever imagined, a century later, people are still using his name to sell light bulbs.
No, I doubt that. Hey, let's go to Florida right now. John is on the line with us. John, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us about the situation with the air conditioners.
Well, we live right by the beach, and our air conditioners, we bought the house 3 years ago, but the air conditioners are about 10 years old, and I know that they're starting to wear, and I want to get ahead of it and start talking to companies about getting new ones in. And I wanted to know, I have two questions. One, I wanted to know, is there a particular brand a train, a carrier, something that is better when you're close to the ocean because of the seawater. That's number one. And number two, I've heard that you can put something on an air conditioning unit, a return of some kind, to heat a pool and or a jacuzzi.
Okay. Not sure on the heater return on that. I think there is some type of, kind of a unit that goes attached to that, but it's more to it than that, because the heat that's required to heat a pool is pretty significant. I know the heater I have for my hot tub is 100,000 BTUs. So it's a pretty strong system in that. And the idea of a particular brand being better than another one for exposure to salt water, that's a good question. Any thoughts on that, Joe? Because I know the better the you hear some of the more quality-oriented brands do talk about that they're extra-coated and that they will, live up or be able to survive better in those kind of situations. But have you ever heard of one on that, Joe?
Yeah, John, I'm not sure. I know that Consumer Reports ran a story recently where Trane was the best quality central air conditioning unit. Lennox had the best efficiency, and Carrier was rated the highest for reliability. Now, I think they're talking about in a situation not right on the ocean. So, but I would check with each of those three manufacturers. Those are the three largest manufacturers. So I would check with them and say, I have a unit right near the ocean. Is there a unit that has more stainless steel parts, perhaps something like that? That's about all I could offer.
Well, that's great information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All those companies. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, and I just want to mention, you can use an air conditioner to heat your pool water. Not many people are aware of this, and it's a little expensive because it requires a technician to come out. But they make it's basically an air conditioning heat exchanger, and that's often called a heat recovery water heater or a heat reclamation pool heater. And it's hard to explain what it is, but it's a small unit that gets attached right by your pool pump. And the refrigerant lines from your air conditioner, this works really well when your central air conditioning unit happens to be close to where your pool unit is. But in any case, the refrigerant lines from the air conditioner, the central air conditioning unit, are connected to this little unit. It's a round cylindrical unit. It's probably about a foot and a half, 2 feet high. And they run the refrigerant lines through that. And the heat that usually is just vented out to the outdoors is goes through the pool water as the pool water goes through this unit as well. That's a very simplistic explanation of how it works. But yes, you can heat your water. And the best thing is you don't pay any more for cooling your home. It has no effect on that. And the cost to heat your pool water is absolutely free, because this ordinarily is heat that's just being expelled to the air.
That's a great idea. But if we were to go then for a separate heater to do a jacuzzi and or a pool, I'd be looking in the 100,000 BTU area, correct?
Yes, you'd want to verify that, but it's that's what I have in mind. It works very, very well, and some are more efficient than others, but they traditionally are pretty expensive to do that, especially with gas. I don't even know if they have one with electric, but with gas, it can really run that bill up quickly.
Yeah, I bet it can. All right. I do appreciate your help. Thank you.
Hey, our pleasure, John. Thanks so much for being with us here on today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we're certainly glad that you're tuning in today. We've got a lot of calls that are coming in, a lot of emails, and want to remind you, if you'd like to send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask. I'm going to grab one real quick here. On one of your shows, you used a shower cleaner, but I didn't catch the name. You just sprayed it on and rinsed it off. Could you please tell me the brand and where I can purchase it? This comes from Debbie in Pennsylvania. That would be one of our Wet and Forget products called their shower spray. You can go to wetandforget.com, and it is something that works very, very well. Basically, after you finish your shower, you just spray it on the walls, leave it on overnight, wash it off hose it off the next day, no scrubbing or anything necessary, and it does work very, very well. Just read the label carefully, then you can go to, again, wetandforget.com, because there are some types of stone that they recommend that you not use it on, so you'll need to be careful on that. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about trying to revitalize an existing patio. You know, you have concrete outside. It can look pretty bad, you know, without taking very long. We're going to show you how we can make it look a lot better and maybe even enlarge it a little bit. All of that and more coming up on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back. Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with SimpleMat from Custom Building Products. SimpleMat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Mold on your siding, moss on your roof, mildew on your deck. The easiest way to get rid of it all is with Wet & Forget Outdoor. There's no scrubbing, no rinsing, and no pressure washing. Just spray and leave. Wet & Forget Outdoor is non-caustic and safe for any outdoor surface. Just spray and you're done with Wet & Forget Outdoor. Get Wet & Forget Outdoor at participating Ace, Walmart, and Lowe's Home Improvement stores or visit wetandforget.com for a store near you. Update old dull tiles in kitchen backsplashes or bathroom showers with the Spread Stone Wall Tile Kit from Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on a premium stone or porcelain finish that's waterproof and durable. Plus, it resists mold, mildew, and cleaning chemicals. The kit has everything you need, and right now, it's under $100 with free shipping. Go to DeitchCoatings.com to order your Spread Stone Wall Tile Kit today. That's D-A-I-C-H Coatings.com. When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Say no to cold, drafty windows this winter with a Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kit. The kit helps block drafts with puncture-resistant rolled film that's 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high traffic or pet-friendly homes. The easy-to-use roll of film means there's no measuring needed. Once it's in place, just cut it to size. And the crystal-clear film means you don't have to sacrifice your view for comfort. Say no to the cold and visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
And welcome back to the show. Hope everything is going well around your home today. Whatever projects you're working on, if you run into a snag, let us know. We're happy to help. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. And on the hotline right now is Christine from Michigan. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you. So great to talk to you, Danny and Joe. I enjoy watching your shows over the years, and thanks for taking this call.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. We want to help you out. Well, tell us about the patio. I understand it's very special to you.
Okay. Well, it is. I'm really interested in renovating this simple 12 by 12 patio that my dad installed decades ago, probably in the 80s. He used simple 24 by 24 tiles that he probably bought at a local garden center. They were a dark charcoal in color back then. The patio's really served its purpose all these years, but over the last few years, definitely has shown where tiles are sinking in spots and the weeds keep coming up through the cracks. I'd like to take a shot at repurposing the old tiles if I can. Overall, they seem to be in fairly good shape. No major cracks or gouges that I can see. I'm not sure if power washing, painting, or staining or even seeing if perhaps the underside would be in better shape to perhaps flip them and serve as a surface. Not sure if I should attempt this, or if so, what's the best way to take a shot at this, or should I just forget it and just get poured concrete? So I'm looking to you for some advice.
Well, I can certainly tell you what we did on a project about a year ago, and really turned out well. And it was a very similar scenario. I think these were 16 by 16 patio stones that we were working with. They were dirty and ugly and so forth, and just had dirt kind of ground right down into the pores of it. And we weren't really sure we could make anything out of them, but here's what we did. We took the stones, took them, because some of them were settling a little bit, so we took them all off to the side and pressure washed every single one of them to get them nice and clean. Then we actually put a coat of concrete stain on them to get them more consistent. And then when we reused them, we kind of used it in a pattern mixed with new 16 by 16 pieces, and kind of did a little pattern so that we could expand the size of it. So we were able to utilize every single one of them. And then the other, and it just kind of looked very intentional. And I'll tell you what, you can see the entire process because we did one of our television episodes on that. And if you'll go to todayshomeowner.com and in the search engine there, put in recycled patio. And you'll be able to see the show step by step exactly how we did it. And I think it really turned out well. It doesn't, I mean, they certainly, it all looks intentional and a nice pattern. And then, of course, we put a little grass and a little bit of some shrubbery around it. And the homeowners absolutely love it. And they saved a lot of money in the process.
Okay. My thing, if you, it does have a concrete border around the current size. So I don't really have room, unless I delete that, to expand it further, introducing new. I don't know if you, I think I uploaded a photo, perhaps, if you could take a look at that. There's a little bit of a border there. Should I just work within that? I mean, would it depend on really how well the tiles are looking once I do the pressure washing and staining?
Yeah, I think if you do the pressure wash and staining, you'll be very pleased with it. I mean, it definitely will improve it drastically. And I did take a look at the pictures. And if you don't want it any larger, then just work with what you have and don't remove any of them. Just leave them down like that. But if you wanted it a little larger, then you may have to remove part of that concrete curbing in order to expand it out. And you might even try, you know, another one we did similar to that is we just used something completely different for a border. And so it just enlarged it just a little bit, kind of gave it a nice definition. And that was another one that turned out really nice.
Okay. I will definitely try that. The only other thing, too, I don't think that there was a proper base put in when my dad installed it. One time we did lift the tile, and I just saw basically dirt and sand with nothing beyond that. From watching your show, I see that it is very important to put a proper base under that, too. So.
If it's not settling after all of these years and still remains pretty flat, then I wouldn't worry about that. But using the polymeric sand that you can put on top of it and then just sweep it in to where it settles down around that will help it, stabilize it even more.
Wonderful. Great. All right. I really appreciate your information on this.
Our pleasure, Christine. Let us know if we can help you any other way.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you. What a great call there, Joe. And you know, when you see those pictures, it's just dirty. I mean, you know, it's just
right. I saw the photos, right.
And also, you know, with concrete or pavers or anything, if they're not sealed a little bit with masonry sealer, boy, everything's going to get down in the pores of that concrete.
Especially, Christine said her dad built this like almost 40 years ago. So you can just imagine. And in Michigan, being exposed to all four seasons. Yeah. And I think, you know, in the worst case scenario, she could pull up all of these tiles. She called them tiles. They're like patio stones, 2 foot square concrete patio stones, re-level out and screed out the base, put in some crushed stone, get it where it should be, and then power wash the stones before she puts them back. I would lean them up. And it's always better to power wash something like that in a vertical situation, you know, so the water all runs right off. Be a lot of work to move those, but I think it'd be like a brand new patio when she was done.
Yeah, when we did that particular show, it was right in the middle of the hottest part of summer.
Of course, yeah.
And the homeowners actually were living in the Mobile, Alabama area, but they were from Illinois. And it was their first summer in Mobile, Alabama, and we almost lost them a couple times there.
Say, did they turn around and drive back to Illinois?
They were glad to see me drive out of their driveway, I think. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. When we come back, one of the favorite parts of the show each and every week, our simple solutions coming right up. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store or at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Bonding heavy materials to vertical surfaces requires an adhesive with grabbing power you can trust. Titebond's Ultimate Tight Grab Adhesive is an advanced formula with twice the initial vertical bond strength of most other similar adhesives. Just press the work into place and go. Tight Grab, the game-changing adhesive that lets you bond heavy materials to vertical surfaces with confidence. Available at select Lowe's locations, visit tightbond.com for details.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
It's always great when we get an opportunity to have our buddy Joe Truini share with us another simple solution. And I might remind you, if you like simple solutions, well, you can see over 500 of them right now at todayshomeowner.com/simple solution. Joe, what do you have this week?
Okay, Danny, I'm always looking for ways to organize my workshop, and that includes storing small parts and fasteners. And I discovered that those that baby wipes, you know, those moistened sheets that people use to clean infants, well, they come in rectangular plastic tubs that are ideal for storing nails and screws and nuts and bolts and all kinds of small fasteners, even small hand tools. They measure about 4 by 6 by 8 inches. They have attached lids that snap pretty securely closed, and you can even stack them. I have a whole bunch of them. And if you don't have an infant in the house, of course, you can just ask a friend or a neighbor who happens to have a young child in the house to save you their empties. It's better than just throwing them away or recycling them. And I've had some. Well, I remember getting some from my sister, and her daughter is a junior in high school. So I've had them for whatever that is, wow, at least 17 years. And with a Sharpie, I just write on the end of the tub what it's in there because I have them stacked up. There's no way of knowing. But they're surprisingly durable, and they're not so big that if you load it up, you can't carry it around easily. So there's a lot of reasons to like it. So save those baby wipe tubs and use them in your workshop.
And also right now with everybody, you know, being so conscious with the virus and so forth, you have a lot of people with the wipes that are being used just to clean
up
surfaces around the house. So you might find some of those. Well, I would just assume that your workshop smells so good, just really clean.
Unless I'm in it. If I'm in it working, it doesn't smell so good.
Hey, one thing we want to remind you about, we always try to, you know, put some things in, you know, for you to think about. Really need to think about carbon monoxide detectors. If you don't have one or not sure if yours works, let me tell you, they're very, very inexpensive. And, you know, every year during this time of the year, you hear some really bad stories there where, you know, people have gone to a hotel or they've gone, you know, to a celebration and had a very close call. In some situations, it's very tragic. So really encourage you to get that carbon monoxide detector. Joe, I remember a few weeks ago, you were talking about you actually bought like a 4-pack of them plugged into the outlets.
Yeah, I was going to buy one for one particular part of the house, and I saw it was relatively expensive to buy one, and then I saw you can buy a 4-pack, and which brought the price way down. And yeah, there are several ways you can get carbon monoxide detectors. Sometimes they're built into smoke detectors, and they detect both smoke and carbon monoxide, and that's fine, except the gas is heavier than air, and it settles. So it starts building up at the floor. So that's why they usually suggest getting one of these plug-in ones. You just plug it right into a wall outlet, and of course it's close to the floor. And you should have at least one on every level. I have four, so I have two on the first level, two on the second level. And because you'd rather be safe than sorry. And they have these batteries now that I think they last 10 years.
Right. So to go ahead and, you know, it's not one of those things maybe you keep on your mind, but why don't you... But write a little note the next time you can at the home center, or as Joe did, just order it online. Go ahead and get those plugged in. You got to keep your family safe, and you never know when some gas appliance in your home is not working properly. Hey, that wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. If you're listening to a station that does not carry the second hour, no problem. Go to todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss a thing. And don't forget about our podcast, todayshomeowner.com/podcast, or wherever you download your podcast. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy some of the additional information that we're able to share with you. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420. Or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.